greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness, for your mercy. Just ask your blessing as we meet together this morning. Be with those who aren't able to be here. Lord, help us all to be faithful to you. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives and our heart. Father, help us be what you want us to be. You know, I just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to begin in Galatians right here, and we'll probably jump around quite a little bit this morning. But verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who is raised from the dead. So I want to stop right there a minute. Not sent from men, nor through the agency of man. You know, that's whenever people tell about their degrees or about their credentials or about how this group of man has ordained them or this group of people have done this or that for them. That's not what Paul came. He came with, just like Christ, from just basically out of nowhere, and had a gospel, had a message that God affirmed that it was true and that it was right. Not, it wasn't something that was had passed all of men's tests. It was something that it was handed down from God. And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's kind of where what I want to talk about is grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God and Father. Here was his message. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord's message. That's what Jesus came to bring, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. You know, we think today that we're living in an evil age. Well, this very thing was what was thought of at that time. That even in Paul's time, his prayer was that the Lord would rescue us from this evil age according to the will of God, the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever, evermore, forevermore. And then it says, I am so amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what is received, he is to be accursed. And then what I want to talk about is the perversion, the different gospel. And I want to put emphasis on what the gospel is. It says, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to open our Bibles or turn to John 14. John chapter 14. Verse 16. Well, let's begin in verse 15. Just kind of want to start out with this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty plain. Jesus has said this a lot. We've talked about it. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Our evidence of that love is doing His will. We'll find that out just a little bit. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Talking a little about encouragement. These are very precious words that Jesus left to us. Remember, He came to bring us the gospel of peace. Grace and peace be upon you. He talked about how to find that. He talked about keeping His commandments. And we know there's people that have His commandments and profess to keep them, but there's still something missing. I think one of the things is that if you kind of divide this gospel up into just commandments or just peace or just, it's not a gospel. It all goes together, and it comes with those who love God. And when we love Him, we will love one another. You know, I'm not a big fan of the symbol of the cross, but I just thought about it this week. You know, there's people that their relationship with God is just all up and down. I mean, it's just me and God and everybody else. And this is God's way, and you're just not in there. You're just on the other side of it. And then there's kind of the bar of it, if you would say, the cross of it. That's humanity on this level. You know, we're working with people on this level, and there's humanitarian efforts all over the place, you know, people working on this level. But they both go together to form this cross. I mean, we have, and this is just like I said, just a symbolic thought that I had, but our relationship with God, when we love God, reaches out this way as well. If you understand what I'm saying. I mean, people get distorted one way or the other. But because of this, we reach out and expand to humanity. And so our gospel goes sideways as well as just up and down. And a lot of times we get in religion and you get people just doing the commandments. And their relationship is just with God, right straight up like that. It misses this part. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me. Again, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened? What are you that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. In verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Here again, all of these things, the message that Jesus told us and reiterated several times, that if you hear my words and do them, that's who loves him. We've seen people that I hear what Jesus said and they're all about the strength there, but then all of that obedience, if it's just an obedience that's just like this, it's missing this outreach or missing this being a blessing to others. You know, it's not just about out preaching to people, but it's about being the humanity in Christ. And then it says, peace I leave with you. There again is that word, peace. See, the gospel that we follow is one of grace and peace to all men. Whenever we think about that peace, Arthur mentioned about being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the of the kingdom of God, or they're the children of God. And when we think about peace, what does that always mean? You know, we read in several places that where this is the gospel of peace. And if our message of peace is something that is realized, and I think that's how God reveals himself to us, through that peace, that rest. And that's whenever we think about the verse about the peacemaker, blessed are the peacemaker. You know, whenever you're troubled and there's things going wrong or you have problems, and you can talk to someone and it just seems like there's just peace after that. You know, a lot of times we think about two people fighting, and so a peacemaker comes along, okay, break it up, you know. But a peacemaker is deeper than that. They're not just fixing things. It's they bring peace in their life. I mean, whenever, you know, you're troubled and just reaching out and finding that person that brings you peace, that's a peacemaker. You know, it's not, like I said, we have a lot of times whenever there's people fighting or at war with one another or something like that, that's the only way you have peace. But, you know, you can be troubled in your mind, troubled in your heart, all upset about something, and someone comes along and just says a few words, and it's just like, there's just peace there. That's the peace that stretches out this way. You know, whenever, I don't know how many times in the Bible that just the verses we began with, Paul was warning about people that were coming in, causing problems, bringing a different gospel. You know, I don't know, it's how many times we've seen that, but someone comes up with a new, holier idea or a new thing. And one of the first things it does when it hits, it disturbs. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring rest. It gets everybody divided all up. You know, that's one of the tactics of the communists and the Stalinists and all of the things that come in, and they want to divide people. Seems like that's what's going on today with the media and all the different politicians, instead of trying to work to bring people together, they just plow something right in the middle that divides. That's not God's way. That's against the gospel of peace. And I'm not talking about just being a, you know, mamby-pamby, go along with everything kind of thing. Just, you know, singing kumbaya and hoping that we can all get along. The message of peace comes into the world and it hits us in the very heart. And only those who hear it will be drawn to it. You know, we can become martyrs. We can cause a lot of problems just by being loud or in people's faces about what we believe. But whenever you bring peace and it's rejected and the world hates it, that's where God is. You know, like I said, we can go cause a disturbance and get everybody all mad at us and go around patting ourselves on the back because the world hates us. But whenever we bring the message of grace and peace and the world hates it and rejects it, and that's whenever we're getting close to what Jesus did when he came into the world, doing all the good he could, and the world rejected it and hated it. This in Acts chapter 14. Oh, let me see, maybe I'm on the wrong page here. 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 23, it says, "And they sent this letter by them, the apostles and the brethren who are elders and the brethren of Antioch and Syria and Sicily, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls." You see the difference between the gospel of peace and someone with another gospel? They come in and get you all stirred up. Instead of bringing peace and rest and grace, their message comes in and it undermines, it disturbs, it unsettles, it causes confusion, it causes anxiety, it causes all kinds of problems. You know, we would do well to, whenever we're hearing a new message or we're telling something, that when we listen and we hear that, what kind of effect is it doing? What kind of effect is it having on us? You know, whenever we're hearing something and it's just disturbing us and all, we probably need to think of a little bit different message. We probably need to think of a little bit different something to hear than that. We need to pay attention because the gospel is about grace and peace. And we can weigh the things that are being said, not just by their perfect dogma or their fitting into all of the check marks of what we're thinking, but is this message one of peace and grace? Is it for something good? Or is it unsettling and disturbing and a problem? We can tell. That's how you tell the spirits. That's a way of testing and trying the spirits about what it's come from. I mean, there's things that we have to hear sometimes that we don't like. But the underlying tone of them is that there's peace beyond it, or there's peace going through it. You know, there's a calmness with that message that gives us the courage and the strength to go right on through. I mean, like you said earlier, you know, we live in a perilous age, or a hard age, a very difficult times, evil age. You know, but even the underlying thought of that is, we're going to get through it. It's delivering us through it. So I just want to encourage that, you know, if we just look at ourselves, am I a peacemaker? Do I bring peace whenever I come around? Or do, whenever I come around, you know, to the brethren, am I there trying to stir some things up or cause problems? Or is there peace? Sometimes you can, you know, I mean, even in rebukes and sharp words, there's a comfort to them. There's a peace there that comes behind it. You know, the world, we speak this peace and we speak these good things, and they're going to reject it. They don't want it. You know, they're not going to hear it. And sometimes they'll get upset about it. But in general, whenever we talk to the brethren, we talk to, you know, we're sharing with the brethren. What do? Where am I at in all this? We're, you know, if we could, you know, we comfort ourselves and we think, if I could just talk to the Lord, you know, that we find comfort in that, just being able to talk to the Lord, and we can find rest and peace there when we've really got a hold of Him. We're really where we're supposed to be. It just comes with rest. Well, how about with the brethren? I mean, whenever we're there, whenever, you know, when our presence is known, does it bring a peaceful thought? Does it bring a rest to your soul just because you showed up or just because you're there? Or, you know, and like I said, the effect is different. Sometimes whenever you walk into the room of the ungodly, there's an automatic disturbance there because they're rejecting it. They don't want it. They don't want the peace. And that's where Jesus talked about whenever you come into a place and you say, peace be upon this place, and they reject it, you got to just shake the dust off of your garment and go on sometimes. But what I want us to keep in mind, or to look at ourselves, you know, are you a peacemaker? Do you bring comfort and rest? Now, we've been around people that they're always in disorder. There's something always troubling them. And that seems to spread. Then we've been around others that just can, everything that they say is something that just divides and separates and causes problems. We've been around people that you know, you can just go work out problems and talk problems out with them, and then they say it's fine whenever you're talking with them, and then they go home and or something, and there's just no rest there. There's no peace. It just reverts right back to that unrest. Are we a peacemaker? Are we at peace? Do we have that grace and peace that comes, that our gospel is centered around? You know, it's like I said, we can have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and all those things. But if that gospel, if that message, if that obedience isn't enveloped and grace and peace, then it's another gospel. God's not in it. Because that is His gospel. Peace I bring with you. Peace I leave with you. And that's as much a part of the gospel as obeying. They go together. It's the life that comes in obedience. You know, we see people all around us that are in full obedience, or it seems like they are. But yet, they're missing that oil that peace, that grace that just makes it all work. So that's what I just want to leave with you. If you're a peacemaker, blessed are the peacemakers. And just as you deal with others, and as you see others, you know, think about, am I causing unrest here? Am I just stirring up problems? Am I just causing problems? Or can I just come into a presence or be a part of it and nothing really even needs to be said? The problems just kind of dissolve away. I mean, that's an aspect of being a peacemaker. Just a little bit different thought about it. So. Anyway, anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Verses there in Galatians 5 at the end of the chapter, it says, "For that fruit of the Spirit Christianity, you know, in so many ways is thought of and looked at, and all these doctrines and dogma and all this, you know, theological stuff. And I was just thinking how the gospel really is providing a way for us to have peace and have light. And it's just a blessing. It's an opportunity for all of us, every man and woman, to just get away from darkness and heaviness and just come to peace and life.
Amen. Lord bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. Depart in peace.